All right, I think that's a perfect song for today's message. How's everybody doing? You guys doing good? I was kind of afraid to ask you how you're doing this morning, because if you're doing your lesson, this may not be a good time for you. All right, our lessons, and some of you are going, well, what's he talking about? Well, we're in the middle of our 40-day study, 28 days of devotionals is what we're doing this year. And this week's study, if you got involved in it, dealt broken relationships. It dealt with whether we've been hurt or somebody's hurt us. How do we respond? So I was kind of afraid, well, what do I come out and say, how you guys doing? Because some of you guys are going to go, I'm not doing real well. You know, it's challenging. Relationships are tough. It's hard. As I was preparing this message, I reflected back on a situation in my life. Some of you know my story. I've been very blessed to come here. My first church, it was a little church up north. I was called there. 6 months after I got there, things changed drastically, and I knew I was not going to last. Laura had just got pregnant, and we're getting ready for her other child, and it's like, what's going on? And there was a gentleman in the church that was very challenging for me to deal with. And there was also another lady in the church that was very challenging for me to deal with. And so I have these challenges. And then this guy, I found out later on, this guy really wanted to pastor the church. Well, in order for him to pastor the church, guess what you got to do with your current pastor? You got to get rid of him. And so this gentleman worked at efforts to make it very difficult for me to pastor. And so I resigned and I moved on. And he came in and he pastored. And during the whole time of this going on, during all this transition time, when all this stuff's going on, his father-in-law is passing away with cancer. And he worked at it. And I would go over there every other day and pray with his wife and his father-in-law and his kids and spend time praying with him every other day while I was there. While this guy was behind the scenes working against me. Not too long ago, I get a text message or a Facebook thing. Anybody have Facebook stuff? I get a Facebook thing that says, are you the Gary dude that pastored in Willits, California? And it's like, well, I shouldn't have told you the city, but yeah, that's where I was at. You know, yeah, that's me, you know. And so we end up communicating for a little while. Come to find out it's his daughter. And he's living back in Arkansas. And he called and talked to me like nothing was wrong. You're the one that tore my life up for 2 years. You're the one that made it very challenging for me all that time I was there. And you call up like nothing is wrong. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, the truth of the matter is I never had anything against him. My thing is, I looked at today's, I want to tell you, I really work hard not to have any issues with anybody. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. I know there's a lot of people that have issues with me, because I'm just kind of that kind of a guy. You know? And this scripture is what we're going to look at today, deal with both extremes. Did you know that? If you're going to get involved, you're going to notice that. It's going to deal with both of these extremes. Because here's the challenge. Forgiveness is unnatural. You know what's natural? Grudges. That's what's natural. Revenge. You know what I say, right? Come on, some of you guys know what my little statement, Gary 1:1, right? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but Gary gets even. Now, I'm saying that sarcastically. Make sure you understand. I said that one time, and somebody says, oh, okay, that's okay. And I go, no, you need to understand. That's sarcasm. You know, it's not okay. That's the way I was raised. I was raised with three brothers. I broke my hand hitting my brother, all right? I mean, you know, I had stitches over my arm. My brother hit me with a tin shovel when we were kids. It's like, whack, you know? My brother was seeing how sharp he had just sharpened it. How sharp's my knife? He holds me down. My middle brother was always the roughest. He could beat me up. Want to see how, cuts my arm to see how sharp his knife is. It was revenge. I can remember. Anybody make balsa wood airplanes? Those balsa wood airplanes? Come on, some of you guys got to remember that kind of stuff. There we go. There you go. We're making balsa wood airplanes. My brother did something to me. I went over to his balsa wood airplane, and it was toothpicks. You know revenge. I kind of like the rabbis. Okay, just so you know, the rabbis, you know, Jesus had the statement. You know Jesus' statement? The golden rule? Do it to them before they do it to you. Oh, wait, that's the rabbi rule. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But the rabbis really did do it to them before they do it to you. Is that, that's natural, isn't it? See, it's unnatural to forgive. It's hard to forgive. It's difficult to forgive. It's not what's put inside of us. If we're hurt, we want to hurt back. If we're upset, if we're angry, we want to strike out. That's who we are. Now, I'm sure none of you, I wrote some phrases that you can recognize. Maybe, I hope, you probably have heard these. I'm not going to say you've ever said these, okay? But have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, I'm sorry you misunderstood me"? You know, "Did I do something that hurt you? Oh, I'm sorry." Anybody? "Sorry you're feeling that way." Are those good apologies? What do you guys, you know, as you think about, you know, how about this one? Anybody? "Please forgive me for about to say." Yeah. Isn't that kind of the natural? You know, isn't that kind of the way we usually deal with things? It's very unnatural to forgive. It's very difficult to forgive. You know, to let things go. To let things slide, you know, not to hold people accountable, you know, to say, "I'm going to forgive you, no strings attached, it's over, it's done." Some of you watch my video, the lesson 3. I was out, just so you know, anybody that's doing the video, there's a little arrow that takes you to the next 2 lessons and a video of the song. So some of you were asking, "But it only has 3. Yeah, but if you push the arrow, there's 3 more things after that, all right? Just to give you a hint there. But this week's video, there was 2 episodes that are recorded of Jesus' life. One from the Sermon on the Mount that really dwells on this. And your outline, let me get your outline out and follow along. And here's what it says. This is in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. "So if you're offering your gifts on the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Okay, making a broken relationship right. I want you to look at that again. Look at what it says. If your brother has something against you, why don't you underline it again? Circle it, underline it, highlight it. Do some way in there to mark that out. If you're in church, if you're in the presence of God, you're getting ready to acknowledge God. This is really for the Lord's Supper. You're getting ready to take the Lord's Supper. I want this solved. You got 2 weeks. Yeah. If somebody has something against you, it didn't talk about you getting hurt right now. I want to tell you that. It's talking about if you're sitting here and you're praying and you're talking to God and you're reflecting on God, and then you remember, you know what? Somebody's mad at me. Maybe you did something. Maybe you said something. Maybe you didn't do anything. Maybe you're just absolutely innocent. What does the scripture tell you to do? You get up and you go and make it right. We need to do that. It's hard. I sat on a school board. I told you that. I sat on the school board. I'm sitting there. We're making some devastating decisions I don't like making. Laying people off, closing a school. I'm doing things that I really wish I just, you know, I'm going to tell you, it's fun on the school board when you're growing 200 students a year. That's fun. When you lose almost 1,000 students and you close a school and have to lay off teachers, that's no fun. And what makes it even worse, they don't like you when you do that. Can you imagine that? You know, I laid my wife off 4 times. Can you imagine going home after you fire your wife 4 times? You know, it's kind of like, okay. But people are there saying things, people that I respected over the years, people that I've known that I assumed respected me, saying things and doing things. One of them had this thing that says, that skunk, you know, walking around in a skunk and something stinks in Salida school board, you know. And my initial reaction is, you know what? I'll fix your wagon. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but Gary, you know. But you know, I can't do that. Now, years ago, that was me. You need to understand that. Before I became a Christian, man, it's on. I could tell you stories. My brothers and I, we weren't bad, but we were less, I'll put it this way. How about holy terrors? Anybody? Anybody got some neighbors like that? But how do we let that go? Because here's what I want you to know. You know what? If you're hanging on to that kind of stuff, guess who's controlling you? You're not in control. If I let somebody else upset me, who's in control? They are. See, I like this. If you've upset somebody, if there's something wrong, this scripture says what? You got to go make it right. I've had to do this. Anybody else? I've had to. I've made some mistakes as pastor here. I've had to go to members' houses of this church and sit in their living room and say, you know what? I'm sorry I messed up. I've done that. For me to give you an idea of when I do, I always do the hardest thing first. I hate to do this, so I'm going to have to do it right off the bat so I get it over with and don't worry about it all day long. You know, I didn't do it on the phone. I go and knock on the door. Come on in. I'm sorry. I just need to apologize. I crossed the boundary. I said something. I did whatever it is. I've done that. And we need to understand that's what we got to do. When we've been hurt, we hurt somebody. Now, this is when we hurt somebody. I want to make sure you get a picture. This is when we hurt somebody. Maybe even we didn't do it. Well, I didn't do anything. I've apologized for things I didn't do. Anybody married? I shouldn't say that. Men, apologize even if you didn't do it. Always say, I'm sorry, guys. It just makes it really easy and a lot better, okay? Yeah, ladies are really quiet now. I need to cook my goose. Laura's not here. I don't have to worry about it. She's gone. But how, you know what I mean? Apologize. Saying I'm sorry. It's hard. It's unnatural. That's why God asked us to do it, and that's why we do it in God. The second verse is another one that Jesus had a conversation with. This one's in Mark. Now listen to this one. Look at the difference here. This one, make sure you got the picture. The first one, if you're praying and you realize somebody has something against you, go make it right. Now here's what it says. This one. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, blind that. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Do you see the difference? If somebody's hurt you, offended you, caused some pain, insult, whatever you want to say, what this verse says is forgive them. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say go tell them and straighten them out. Did you notice that? What's the natural thing to do? I want to tell them how they hurt me. I want them to know they hurt me. I want them to know I'm upset. That's not what the verse says, does it? It says you forgive them there in the midst of that prayer. And I think it's important to notice what they're doing. They're praying. I'm going to tell you something. The only way I can do this is in prayer. Anybody? Lots of prayer. And just so you know, it might not first time I'm praying. Anybody? It might take several days of praying before I can sit there and say, all right, God, I'm going to let it go. That's what he's saying to do. I like Jesus is awesome. I mean, look at what God preserved in his word. If you hurt someone or somebody thinks you hurt them, go make it right. Go make it right. If you've been hurt, forgive them. Doesn't say about going to make anything, does it? Doesn't it go straighten them out? You know, go fix their little red wagon. It says, forgive them. Now, that is very unnatural, isn't it? At least my personality is, you do me wrong, sooner or later. Sooner, you know, what goes around comes around. We need to back up. So these lessons are going to be challenging. I'll just give you a warning. If you're in our 40-day set in these last 28 days of devotional here, these last few days, it's hard. It's hard. I'm not going to say it's not hard. But the question is, who's going to control you? Are you going to let others control you? Are you going to let others determine how you feel and what you think? Are you going to let others tell you who you are? This forgiveness is about us. It's not about them. It's about us. There's a passage that somehow got deleted. So you're going to have to write this one down. It's going to come up on the screen. You need to write this passage down. This is a real important passage. I don't know how I deleted it in my notes as I prepare for you, but you need to write this down. If it is possible, now hear me again. You notice I'm saying this three times. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with the people you like. Okay, can you write that down? Did I get it right? No. Live at peace with everyone. I want you to write that verse down. Now, I kind of feel it's good I didn't put it in there, because you're going to probably remember it more because you wrote it down, okay? I was going to give you homework. I was going to say, go home, get your Bible out, get a yellow highlighter, and highlight this verse, Romans 12:18, in your Bible. So next time you're reading it, you run across it. You got to do the best you can. You can't be responsible for their decisions. You can't be responsible for what they do. I've had people tell me, I'm not going to forgive you. Anybody have somebody tell them that besides me? That I'm not going to forgive you. As far as it is possible with me, as much as it depends on me, I'm not going to hold anything against anybody. I'd like to. Because that's our nature. But this idea of forgiveness is a challenge. So how does this work? So what I did here, I kind of put a box here, some barriers sit hard, some things that make it difficult for us. This is kind of the natural stuff. These are some of the natural responses. And the first one I put here is this self-deception. We deceive ourselves. Well, I didn't mean to hurt them, so that's okay, right? That wasn't my intention. That makes it okay, right? Come on. It was an accident. They just need to understand it, forget it, and it's just, it was an accident. Or they just took me all wrong. It's their fault. And we rationalize it. Well, when somebody hurt me, well, it's not that big of a deal. You ever deceive yourself? Somebody hurt you? Somebody said something to you, and you tell them, and they come to you and say, I'm sorry, and you're going, well, it wasn't that big of a deal. You ever deceive yourself like that? That's not healthy. We need to say, you know, thank you for apologizing. Understand that. You know, it was no big, you know, we deceive ourselves. We kind of like, well, it's nothing. It's okay. I'm over it. Anybody say you're over it and you're not? Anybody? See, we deceive ourselves, don't we? And that's a barrier to forgiveness. The other one I put down here is self-defense. And this one is the closest to me. I'm going to get back at you. It's payback time now. Now, I might not pay them back. But when it goes wrong in their life, it's party time, right? Finally, they're getting what they deserve. Anybody? That's still wrong, okay? That's that self-defense, you know? You know, they're finally getting it. They get what they deserve. You know? And that's that self-defense. How about the self-image I put for the next one as our self-image? I'm wrong. Because I'm never wrong. Right? I'm never wrong. I never make a mistake. I'm always right. Anybody ever watch a show called Happy Days? Anybody? Remember Happy Days? Remember Fonzarelli? Anybody remember Fonz? You ever watch Fonz say, I'm sorry? He couldn't get the word out. Yeah. It's hard to say I'm sorry. It's our self-image. You know, I can't let my guard down. That'll show weakness. And we have this self-image we got to live up to. And so I can't apologize because they'll think less of me. And the last one I put down here is self-protection. It'd just kill me if I say I'm sorry. Come on, you know, I just can't do that. It'd mess up everything if I say I'm sorry. Anybody ever have a boss at work like that? You know, that messes things up all the time and then blames you? And then, you know, he ain't going to say he's sorry. It ain't going to happen. So these are some barriers, you know, because it's so unnatural to say, I forgive. It's so unnatural to say, will you forgive me? It's hard. There's this battle on in us. And so that's why I've kind of titled the message, you know, Unleashing Unforgiveness, because we got to let it go. We got to, I should play a song. Frozen. Anybody? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it, all right? You know? Let it go. Never mind. You know? But we do. We have to have that point where all this is playing out in our lives that we just let it go. Anybody ever hear the scent water off a duck's back? Anybody? Some of you guys are going, what in the world? Pour water on a duck and watch. It just rolls right off. You know, the stuff in the feathers, I can get on the stuff on that. I don't understand all of it. I do. Well, that's kind of, we need to get to a point where if we've hurt somebody, that we have the courage and the strength, not internal strength, the strength in God to say, will you forgive me? Most of us apologize, you know, forgive me if I said anything. That sounds pretty good, but that's not a good apology. You know what I've learned? Here's a real good apology. I'll give you real simple. Two words. Forgive me. That's it. That's all. Anything else is an explanation, isn't it? Anything else is reasoning and it's rationalizing. I forgive you. Three words. Two words. Forgive me. I'm sorry you took it that way. That's their fault because they took it that way. It didn't me. How do we get there? How does this play out? But I want to make sure you understand, what isn't forgiveness? I think part of the problem that makes it so hard to forgive is we really don't understand what forgiveness is. We really don't understand what it means to forgive somebody. I think we get confused. And so I got four things here. I think there's four of them here that I want you to get a picture of. Here's what the word says. If you forgive others for their wrongs they do to you, your Father in heaven will forgive you. Right? Anybody want forgiveness? Anybody need forgiveness? I think everybody's hand should go up. If it doesn't, you need to stick your hand up. I'll tell you, you need to. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Now, we try to rationalize this. Well, you know, the truth is, if you can't forgive, guess what? God's not going to forgive you. Now, it's no whitewash here, okay? It's plain. But here's some things I want you to know. Here's what it is not. And I think this is what makes it hard. First one I put here, real forgiveness does not mean forget. Real forgiveness does not mean to forget. It's just all over. You just forget it. It disappears. It's as if it never happened. It's gone. I don't know you, but I shared that story about the guy in the church and I pastored up north. I still remember that. Anybody? I haven't forgotten. See, we think forgiveness means you can't remember it. I'm going to tell you something. You'll remember it. Because it hurt. It was painful. We'll remember it. It doesn't mean we forget it. But what it's going to say is, we're going to let it go. That's what it's going to. Because I'm going to guarantee you, it's going to flash your mind. A similar situation to come up. And you'll go back. I remember what that guy did. Something clicks and you remember. Satan throws it out there. Does Satan ever throw things on you to stick? See, it doesn't mean it's always going to be just gone. It's out of our mind. It's disappeared. I forgot it. I don't know about you, but our mind remembers all sorts of things. You know, it just seems to hang around in there. You know, in a filing cabinet somewhere in the back. Go watch the new movie Inside Out that just released. They got the little balls all over the place. They fluctuate, and you can come back to you. It doesn't mean you're going to forget it, because it will come back, because it hurt. But it means you've let it go. How about another thing? Real forgiveness does not mean that there's no consequences. Well, if you forgive me, you can't hold it against me. Well, I'm not holding it against you, but you still got to pay the consequences, right? There's still consequences. There's still punishment to come. When my kids did something wrong and I called them into accountability, I said, did you do such and such? And if they said, yes, I did it, will you forgive me? I'm going, oh, that's okay, just go away. Did I do that? No. Now, you're being honest. Now, see, what would be bad is, now not only if you lie, you're in trouble for what you did, and now you're in double trouble because you lied. You know, you don't get the blessing of lying. You know, you still face the consequences. You know? And so there's always, there's punishment. You know, there's discipline to come. And so it doesn't mean there's no consequences. Things have changed. It's different. Kind of goes to the next one. And just so you know, this next one could be a whole sermon. Real forgiveness does not mean complete reconciliation or restoration. All right? It's because somebody apologizes. And this is one of the fears. See, we fear that if somebody apologizes, I've got to act like it never happened. No. All right? That's false. I wrote it down this way in my notes. Forgive is grace. Reconciliation and restoration takes trust, and that takes work. Right? Trust takes work. Forgiveness takes grace. Trust is something you build. Grace is a gift. See, we give them the grace. They have the opportunity to rebuild that trust. Is that it? Now, you know, because sometimes it's different. It's changing. Just because somebody hurt you once, you know, what is it? Once, shame on me. Twice, I don't know how that thing went. You know, however that went. But it's those battles. So it doesn't mean you have to let them back in to hurt you again. Okay, you get the picture? That's one of the fears that, well, if I forgive them, that means I give them permission to do it again. No, it does not. They've got to earn that trust back. You can give them that grace of forgiveness. And, you know, grace is instantaneous, right? Instant. Boom, I got grace. Trust takes time. It takes a little time to build that trust back. But that forgiveness is instantaneous. And the last one I put here, real forgiveness does not whitewash the wrongness. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It hurt. It's bad. It's always going to be bad. It's not going to be good. It doesn't mean it wasn't wrong. Well, I forgive you. Then it was okay. No, it wasn't okay. It was wrong. See the challenge. See, we wrestle with this forgiveness and then I got to just let it go, and I'm never going to remember it, and I'm supposed to forget it, and yet it keeps flashing across my mind, so maybe I didn't forgive them. Anybody kind of things? Yeah. And then I'm supposed to act like it didn't hurt. Well, it did hurt. So that's why I say these are the negatives here. So how does this all work? I just gave four things real quick. How do I make it work? How do I make forgiveness real? How do I make forgiveness possible? If it's so unnatural, if it's just my nature to get even, my nature to hold grudges, my nature for revenge, my nature to hold accountable, how do I let it go? I thought Jesus' words on the cross were beautiful words. Listen to what he said. Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. See, the problem is, most of the time, we think they knew what they were doing, right? You know, they meant to hurt me. And I mean to hurt them. And we get in this battle. Jesus says, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. How do we get to a point where we can let things go? How do we get to a place when we can forgive? How do we get to a place where we can begin to reestablish and restore that relationship? Time and trust takes time and begin working on it. How do we get there? And so I just got four things. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, I just got four things here that I think will help us. First is this one. Forgiveness is remembering how much you've been forgiven. Now, I wasn't saved till I was 17 years old. Now, I wasn't that bad of a child, of a kid. I was a great aggravator, an instigator, you know. But I didn't use drugs. I hadn't been drinking. I hadn't been promiscuous. But you know what? God's grace is marvelous. I was a sinner. All right? I was a sinner. It doesn't matter. If it's little sins, big sins. You know what? If I'm driving down the freeway going 80 miles an hour, which I don't do, most of the time. I'm driving down the freeway going 80 miles an hour, and I get pulled over. Did I break the law? I broke the law. I broke only one of them, but I broke what? The law. All of it. I think we need to understand, you know, is, well, my, I'm not that bad. I'm not. Well, you know what? It took a lot of grace for God to forgive me. And if I'm going to forgive others, do I have grace for them? Will I look at them as God looked at me? While I was still doing my own thing, my own way, acting the way I acted, speaking the way I spoke, doing the things I do, God says, I love you and I forgive you. Whoa. God didn't say, Gary, clean your life up, everything in order, start going to church, and then I'll forgive you. Is that what God said? No. See, we need to remember back to that grace that God has. As we look at others, do we have grace for others? Look at what it says. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. I got to have grace for them. I got to have grace for them. Here's my thing as a pastor. I'm going to stand before God. I've told you this as we're taking the Lord's Supper. And that's my greatest fear. I got to give. I'm accountable for all of you guys. Anybody in Salida now that's walked through, I'm accountable for all of them in this town. I feel God gave me the opportunity as a pastor. And when I stand before God, thank you for the grace. When he says, did I do this? Did I do that? I'm going to be pleading on grace. And if I show grace to others, and if I err, God, if I err on the side of grace, God, I'm going to err on the side of grace. Here's my rule. Am I going to err on the side of the law? Or am I going to err on the side of grace? I'm going to choose grace. Because I'm going to plead God's grace. God says, well, you should have held this person more accountable, and you should have said this to that, and you should have straightened this person. You know, God didn't call me to straighten anybody out. You know? I've been told I need to straighten people out. You know, you need to... I plead God's grace for me, and when I stand before God, and somebody says, well, you didn't straighten them out, I'm going to say, God, I did the best I could. I gave him grace. If I erred, I'm going to err on the side of grace. I'm going to encourage you to do that. Err on the side of grace. Share that grace. God has been gracious to us. I still do stupid things. I still say stupid things. If you don't think I say, ask Laura. She could tell you things I've said to her. Unfortunately, I said ask her today because she's gone, okay? And just so you know, life ain't fair. She's at Disneyland. She was at Disneyland at 7 this morning. Already rode two rides, and she calls me at 7:30. Saying, I've already rode two rides, rubbing it in. Yeah, grace for her, yeah. Grace. Grace. See, when you're struggling to forgive somebody, remember what God's done for you. Doesn't that help? Just go back. God has been so gracious to me, I can let this go. While I'm praying, God, I'm going to forgive. I'm not going to go and tell them what they did. I'm not going to go them out. I'm not going to go ask them to apologize, and then I'll forgive them. God, I forgive them. They don't even need to know. I forgive them. Great. How about the second one here? Forgiveness is relinquishing the right to get even. No more vengeance. No more getting even. No more payback. No more they deserve it. Like I said, the time, this is my battle, okay? This is me. I'm not going to get even. But sometimes, you know what? It sure feels good when it falls on them, doesn't it? When it's finally, they're getting what they deserve. It's payback. I didn't do it, but they got it. Does that ever make you feel good? Or am I just kind of mean? You know? We don't need that. We need to learn that we don't want to get even. This is to me, you really know you've forgiven somebody is when you don't want to get even with them. That's when you really know. When you really want to, you know, let God do it. Come and tell you something. Here's my rule in my life. This is the big principle for me. God can take care of it better than I can. See, here's my mind. Just so you know, when I was raising my kids, you know, I had an aunt and uncle killed by a drunk driver when I was a child. And I was thinking, if I had my kids killed by a drunk, you know what my mind says? I'm serious. This is what I think. You might think this pastor is kind of crazy. This is to show you I am. You know, The guy, if somebody killed one of my kids as a drunk driver or something like that, I could pay somebody in prison to sever his spinal cord. And then he couldn't move, and then I'd put a picture of my kids on his wheelchair and make him pay. Come on now, that's Gary. That's really what Gary would want to do. Well, but who can do and make things right better than me? You know, because I know I've hurt people. I tell, you know, I've told people in the church, and maybe I haven't said it lately, because my personality is, I am a very bold, rolling steamroller kind of a person. Some of you guys know, and you're going to shake your head. That's just who I am. And I can run you over emotionally and never even know it. And some of you might have been. I could just rolling through life, just going right along and plow right over you, and I look back and go, whoa, I did what? I won't even know it. We need to back up and understand that I can't get even. That I got to let God deal with it. Because here's the next one. Forgiveness is responding to evil with good. I didn't read that verse. Look at that verse. Don't back it up. You guys can read it on your paper. Dear friends, never avenge yourself. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Don't take the law into your own hands. I do. I leave it with God. He can do a better job than I can. But here, respond to evil with good. Here's the scripture. But to you who are willing to listen, I like that. Are you willing to listen? Not to me, to the Bible. Okay, this isn't Gary. I'm not asking if you're willing to listen to me. Are you in the Bible, all right? I say, love your enemies. To death. No. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Yeah, that's on my list, right? Anybody got those on your list? That's what God has asked us to do. How do you know if you've forgiven somebody? Like I said, you forgive when you don't want to get revenge. You know you've forgiven them when you're willing to pray for good things for them. You know that? When you're willing to ask God to bless them. When you're willing to ask God to pour out his blessings upon them. Then you know you've forgiven somebody. You know you've let it go. You know you've given it to God when you ask God to bless them. And that's the challenge. Will you do good and respond to evil with good? And that's hard. How about the last one? Forgiveness is repeating the process as long as necessary. How many times I got to forgive you? 1, 2, 3. How many times we got to forgive somebody? 4, 5, 6. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? Peter's being generous. 7, man, I'm spiritual. I'm going to forgive them 7 times, God. And then look at what Jesus says. No, not 7 times. Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. So Gary says, get you a little black book. You know how to do your Roman numerals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3. When you get up to 77, you're done. I'm going to tell you what. I would have reached 77 by now. You know? But God is forgiving. It doesn't say we forgive him as often as it comes to our mind. This is the key. Like I say, you're not going to forget. Your mind puts that stuff somewhere in there. Just so you know, let me tell you this. Just make sure you understand this. If you got a computer and you type something into that computer memorizes that. And you might say delete it, but it is there. You can't believe, you give me your computer, I could tell you some things about you that you might not want. No. Because I can get in there and go to sectors. I got tools to look at things. And I could, there are little sectors. You can put them all pieces together. Well, that's the same thing with our mind. You know that? It puts it in there somewhere. And it's stored. And you really know you're forgiving somebody when it flashes across your mind. Because it's going to flash. And you go, I've already forgiven that. That's when you know. When that hurt or that pain comes. And you go, God, I've already forgiven that. God, it's been all these years. It's been yours this last week, God. It's been yours these last 2 days, God. I've given it away to you, God. It's yours, not mine. That's when you know you've forgiven. It's going to come back over and over again. How many times? As often as it comes across your mind. And sometimes that person does the same stupid stuff. Anybody besides me with my wife do the same stupid stuff? Your wife goes, "You did it again." Anybody? You know, she'll remind you, "You did it again. You did the same. I thought we did this. I thought we went over this." And sometimes, but then how about this one? No, I'm not going to go there. All right. But here's what I want to challenge you with today. This is what forgiveness is. I want to show you what forgiveness is not and what forgiveness is. It's not forgetting. You know, it's not deceiving ourselves. It's none of that stuff. It's really going to God and letting God work his grace through you. That's really what it is. That he has been gracious to you and that you are responding by being to others. And that's the challenge for us. And that's what God has called us to do. But here's what I want to tell you something. Forgiveness is not some emotion. Because usually we let our emotions run wild. But forgiveness is a decision. It's what we decide to do. And I'm going to challenge you in these next few weeks to make a decision to forgive. Because if you don't, somebody or something is controlling you. And it's not God. Get the picture? If you carry those grudges and you carry those hurts and you carry that baggage around, it's like not having the garbage man come by for a couple of weeks at your house. Anybody want the garbage man to come by tomorrow? In my house, I want him tomorrow. My garbage can is full. But if it don't come tomorrow, it's going to stink. I don't want my life stinking. Forgiveness takes the trash out. Get it? And it's a decision. We react emotionally. That's why it's so hard. Because we react emotionally to those hurts, to those pains. React to those words. And it's an emotional reaction. That's a decision. In 2 weeks, we're going to sit at the Lord's feet. And Jesus said, if you have aught against your brother, before you bring your offering, go and make it right. You got 2 weeks to make things right. That's why I said, this is going to be the hardest lesson. This is a challenge. You got 2 weeks. If you've hurt somebody, make it right. But what's good, here's what I marvelous grace. I got, here's what the exciting thing for me this morning is. If somebody's hurt you, if somebody has said something, did something in some way in your life, and you can sit there and say, well, Gary, you just don't understand. You know what? I don't. You know, my dad did, my mom, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my coworker. Gary, you just don't understand. Well, you know what? I don't understand. But I do understand God. And God loves you. Cares for you and wants you to leave that at the altar today. That's what I like. That one verse Jesus said, while you're praying, if you remember that you have hurt, forgive them. I'm going to challenge you this morning, right here, right now, to forgive them. If somebody has hurt you, somebody has done something, somebody has damaged you, somebody, and I'm not, like I said, those things, I really might give you that, what it's not. It's not meaning it didn't hurt. It's not meaning it's not wrong. It doesn't mean you're going to forget it and never remember it. It doesn't mean any of that. But what it means is you're letting go and letting God. We all have hurts. We all have pain. Life's not fair. People have done things. Sometimes it's our parents. Sometimes it's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, coworker. I know, but I've been in work environments. But I'm going to challenge you today. To let it go. To remember God's grace for you. And all that God has done for you. So that you can let that one go. Not because they've asked. Not because they deserve it. Because you know what? More than likely they probably don't deserve it. That's not your business. Did I deserve God's forgiveness at 17? No. Do I deserve God's forgiveness today? You know what? I still deserve God's punishment. Do you know that? Only because of grace he doesn't. I want to challenge you this morning. You got 2 weeks to make those that you need to go make right. But this morning, you can make those that have hurt you right. By simply leaving them here in the grace of God. It says like this. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. Will you examine yourself? Is there someone you need to forgive today of hurt? It's real. I don't understand.
But I know God's grace is sufficient. I know God's grace can take care of you. Can you let it go? Then I put it this way. You're invited. God's grace. Come, remember, receive. Are you ready? Let's pray.